Stop self-attack and be kind. We all have the habit of criticizing ourselves. Sometimes we do it intentionally. At other times, it happens as a part of our habitual thinking. The Buddha pointed out in the Second Noble Truth that the nature of self-attack, craving for self-destruction, is within the human mind. It is deep-rooted in ignorance. This is one of the root causes of suffering. At this juncture, we can ask a question. If we do not do self-criticizing, how can we expect ourselves to be better? How can we expect ourselves to progress on the path even towards enlightenment? In this talk, we are going to discuss self-attack, the danger of its root causes, how to stop self-attack, and most importantly, how we can use the Dhamma in the place of self-attack to transform ourselves to become wiser and compassionate human beings. First of all, let's understand what is self-attack. This is our own nature of self-criticizing, especially in a very harsh way and in a negative way. Here it means diminishing oneself, belittling oneself, shaming oneself, bringing oneself downward with unnecessary criticism. When we develop such a habit, we always think in a negative way about ourselves. We see only the negative aspect of our life and behavior. We might think, no one will love me, no one will care me, nobody wants me, I'm bad, I'm not worth of love, care. In such a way, we will make ourselves very smaller. On the other hand, self-attack also prevents us seeing our own beauty, seeing our own value. Every human being has value, has virtue. But when we develop the habit of self-attack, we do not see our own skills. We do not see our own abilities. We simply hide them or simply ignore them. We do not acknowledge ourselves that we have such wonderful qualities. We have such wonderful skills and abilities. Thirdly, when someone does self-attack, that person also tend to think that whatever happens, and all this happens because of one's own fault. So in life, when things do not go as one wish, or when miserable things happen, that person will always think, this is because of me. It happens because of me. So that person will start to scold oneself for all the miseries and sufferings in the world. But the reality, as Buddha pointed out, there are many causes and conditions when something happened lie behind that incident. But since we develop self-attack attitude and the habits, we tend to scold ourselves for such things happening. What is the danger of self-attack? As we can see very clearly, if we were to develop the habit of self-attack, in the first place, we become very unhappy, miserable. We feel sad, lonely, isolated. Simply, we are very, very unhappy. We develop a thinking pattern based on this unhappiness, and we perceive the world in a negative way. We always think the world is not a good place to live. So the first thing that will happen, you create immense mental suffering for yourself. This is your own creations. These are known as sankhara, mental formations, based on your own negative thinking. Furthermore, in time to come, you will develop inferiority complex. You will develop a character which doesn't have any self-esteem. You will not have self-confidence. You always think that you may not be able to achieve things in the world. Even though you were to start doing something, or even though you want to venture on something, even before you start, you will create a mindset that you will fail. You will not be able to achieve it. You will not have that confidence. So eventually it is possible you might fail because of your self-propensized attitude and behavior. Furthermore, when you have the habit of self-attack, you will easily get into the habits of excessive drinking or using drugs because you do not see the self-worth. Sometimes you know yourself that these stuff can harm your body, but still you do it because you do not see the point of refraining from them. You have self-hatred. Sometimes people who have got these habits will do such actions unconsciously. Yet the term unconscious means they are not aware that such things are happening and they are harming their own body. So some of these people, they will addicted to drinks and drugs and eating and many other things which excessively harm their body. Furthermore, they will develop a kind of mental attitude that even goes further to harm their own body through self-inflicted sufferings, such as they might cut themselves, they might injure themselves. Some of these people, they beat themselves, they beat their chest, they slap themselves, sometimes they knock their head against the wall, they burn themselves, torture their body. Self-mortification is an extreme that Buddha asked us to avoid on the path towards enlightenment. This is the manifestation of our own defilements, the hatred rooted in delusion. So these people can develop this kind of thinking and a behavior and eventually can lead to suicide. They can kill themselves because they do not see the point of living. They do not see that their life is worth living. The most dangerous aspect of self-attack is such a person can be a victim of extremist groups, like those people who are religious extremists, or those who has got the political agenda, or even the criminals. They can use such people who have got these self-attack nature to achieve their goals. For example, if someone were to approach such a person who is having self-attack attitude and were to say, yes, life is miserable, no point of living here. But in fact, the heaven is a better place. If you were to die in the name of the religion, name of the God, and you can be born in the heaven. So these people can be easily brainwashed to become a suicide bomber. Or these people can be used to achieve some political agenda and brainwash them to kill themselves for the sake of the country or nation to achieve this goal or that goal. Or these people also can be housed in criminal gangs. They will be given a lot of value, a lot of appreciation, a lot of love. And then, of course, they can be used to achieve the unwholesome goals. So people can go to the extent. Then, before they kill themselves, they might kill others. Because life is not worth living. This world is not for me. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. So, before I kill myself, I will kill others. So such a person who is self-radicalized might take a gun and go to a public place and kill many other innocent people before they turn the gun towards themselves. Such things happen because of the self-attack habits. What are the root causes of self-attack? There can be many causes and conditions for this. Sometimes it is our own childhood experiences. That is how our mother and father brought us up. So if a mother and father always were to belittle the kids, saying that you are stupid, you are not good, you are lazy, you are not studying, in fact, these self-criticism, self-attack seeds started to grow in the tender minds of the children. I believe many parents, they say such things out of goodwill. They expect the child to be energetic and striving. So they might say things like, you're so lazy, you're not working hard. They may want the child to be brilliant. So they might say, you're so stupid. So the parents themselves do not know how to bring the good seeds of these children, because they themselves were brought up in such a way by their own parents. So this is a vicious cycle. So instead of belittling the children, we can in fact empower them through positive thoughts by giving them the value for doing good things, for encouraging the positive side of the child. At the same time, of course, when the negative side appears, we can counsel, we can softly and gently guide the children rather than creating the conditions for negative self-criticism and eventually self-hatred and self-attack. Sometimes people develop these self-criticism and self-attack and such habits because when they were very young, they were abused, sometimes physically abused, emotionally abused, sexually abused. And these children, and when they are growing up, they grow up with the wounds, with so much hurt inside their heart. And they will not have wholesome character. So there are many things come into existence. Some of the children can grow with guilt. For example, immediately after a child is born to a family, perhaps maybe mother died, or grandfather died, or father died, or someone in the family died. So the relatives ignorantly might create the conditions in the child's mind to think that it is because of you grandmother passed away. You brought bad luck. Your mother passed away because of you. So the child started to grow with this guilt in the mind. I'm not worth. I do not deserve love, compassion. So in this way, sometimes children grow with this kind of guilt. So there can be many conditions. But as the Buddha pointed out very clearly, the root cause of self-attack, vibhava tanha, is deeply rooted in ignorance in our own mind. Here, grasping the five aggregates as I and me, which is the illusion, which is the ignorance itself, is the deepest root of this problem. Now, how can we stop self-attack? This is very important for all of us to know as Dhamma followers. If we want to stop self-attack, then we need to understand the impulses of self-attack, the root causes of these impulses, at the same time, the triggers of these impulses. Then only we can do something about it. So the self-attack can be very subtle And it can manifest in a very subtle way, emotionally, irritating, and then it can manifest and it can harm ourselves, and it also can harm the others. But first of all these arise as impulses. Now, when the impulses arise in the mind, before we start thinking of them, there is a space, a brief space, a fraction of a second. Most of the time, we are not aware about it. So what happens? We react to it. When we react to it, we are hooked up with it. And then we started to think. And that is how the process starts. So the key point here is to understand the impulses and not to react to them. The most important key here is sammasati, right mindfulness. When the impulses arise, we observe them mindfully, we do not react to them. What will happen if you were to observe impulses with right mindfulness and do not react to them? These impulses fade away. They do not have their own strength. We have to start thinking of them, then only they can obsess our mind, and then we become negative thinking. We become these negative emotions. So these impulses can arise like feelings. All of a sudden, you might feel sad, gloomy, moody, miserable, unhappy. And if you do not have mindfulness, based on that, your mind will start to create the stories. And then it can dig into your mind to look for the necessary fuel. And eventually it can manifest as negative, destructive, unwholesome thinking, which can manifest as self-attack. Or the impulses can arise as a form of inner voices, like very critical voices, such as, you're not good, you are unwholesome, you're stupid, nobody likes you. Such kind of thoughts simply might arise in the mind. And at that moment, if you do not have mindfulness, and you might hook up with these thoughts, and then thoughts start to think themselves. So the key point here is to recognize the impulses. To recognize the impulses, we need to have right mindfulness. It is also important for us to understand the root causes of these impulses. Now, when it comes to the impulses, there can be many root causes and conditions. The impulses of the self-attack is wired to our brains. We evolved in such a way throughout this human evolution. Our brains evolved in such a way, and self-criticism and self-attack is part of it. Most probably it evolved in that way because that can help us to motivate in a such a way to achieve whatever the goal that this natural selection intended to achieve. It also helps us to prevent ourselves being in the danger. So in evolutionary psychology, and if you were to look at from that angle, we can see the point why our brain has these habits. Now we have inherited our genetic makeup from our parents. So we need to understand these impulses, they just arise in the brain itself because we are having this human body and the brain, and that is how our brains evolve. This is part of this story. The other part of this story is our upbringing, childhood experiences, as I just mentioned earlier. What are the things we experienced in our childhood? Our education, our religion, our upbringing, our parents, siblings, all these play a part. So if we have these habits, and if we have these negative incidents that experience in our life, and that also can be the root causes of these impulses. So they are mainly based on our own memory. So these experiences that we carry from our childhood remain in our brain as a memory. So once in a while they pop up. The moment they pop up as impulses, if you do not have mindfulness, we can be hooked up with them. And then negative thinking started to be strengthened, carried out. From the Buddhist point of view, the impulses of these self-attack can even related to the past lives, because we are talking about series of lives. This is not the first life or last life we are living. We have been born billions of times, and throughout past we have developed certain habits, tendencies, thinking patterns, experiences. All these also can influence the impulses. So whether it is due to the evolution or our childhood experiences and upbringing or related to even past lives, no matter what, we have the ability to change them. The brain can rewire throughout our life. We can evolve throughout our life through mental training. That is what the Buddha teach in the Noble Eightfold Path, to transform ourselves, to train ourselves. We also need to understand the triggers of these impulses. If you do not understand the triggers of these impulses, then our understanding is very shallow and we may not be able to take control of this process. To understand the triggers of these impulses, we need to do backtracking. The moment impulses arise, if you have mindfulness, you also can do backtracking to understand how this impulse came into existence in the first place. When you start backtracking, you might see the triggers of the impulses. That's very, very important. Sometimes these triggers can be a sound. It can be smell. It can be seeing someone. Or it can be listening to a particular song, or it can all of a sudden arise in the mind itself, in the brain itself. But these trigger points are very important to be recognized, because If we can recognize, we can settle the issue here. The trigger points can be very subtle, and most of the time we are unaware about it. I'll give you an example to understand this. Suppose when you were a little kid, you quarreled with your younger brother over a toy. So when two of you were fighting or struggling to possess the toy, and accidentally you pushed your brother and he fell down. He started crying loudly. Your mother, who was cooking in the kitchen, she got so frightened and she ran to the living room and carried your younger brother, consoling him, soothing him. And then she looked at you with daggers in her eyes, like, "You rascal, you idiot," kind of eyes, and said, "You do not know how to take care of your younger brother. How can you do such a thing?" Then she might utter rough words, the words that can hurt. And then she locked you into a room as a punishment. Now, how do you feel? As a little child, you might start thinking, "Mother doesn't love me, but my mother loves my younger brother." So here, jealousy might play a part. You might feel that you are discarded, belittled, not loved. You're not worth to be loved. And you are a rascal. You are so stupid. You do not know how to take care of your brother. And you bring yourself downward. You feel so sad, upset, and you start thinking about it and you started crying about it. Suppose at the same timing, in your house, a particular type of music was playing when this incident was going on. So this was what happened. Imagine. Now you are an adult. All of a sudden one day, you happen to hear the same piece of music, or a kind of music similar to that. You do not know why. You become so sad, so upset. So you obsessed with your sad, upset mood, and you started to think, "No one likes me. Nobody loves me. I'm not worth. I'm not capable enough." So all these childhood memories started to play differently. And then it will look for the evidence for this. And there might be other incidents come into existence and play a part. That is why you could not maintain your relationship with your girlfriend. That is why you broke up with her. That is why nobody likes you. That is why your boss asked you to resign. All these will come to play. And that is how our mind works. So if you were to understand this, the trigger point here is the sound, the music. So, if you can understand the impulses, if you can understand the root causes of these impulses, and especially if you can understand the trigger points, then you can get rid of this self-attack thinking. In order to exercise this, as I said at the very beginning, we need to have sammasati, right mindfulness. That is the key. Now, there might be another way to do this. This can be helpful of those who find it is very difficult to exercise mindfulness. And you all can start writing. In fact, writing can be a very helpful method to discover the negative habits, patterns of your mind. So each and every time when you feel like self-criticizing and belittling yourself and attacking yourself, you can start writing down it. Each and every time you feel it, you write it down. After a period of time, when you read these, you might find out a kind of theme. They all related to one particular point. You might see that they all direct towards one direction. Perhaps you might get a eureka moment to understand, aha, this is what is happening. This is the issue in my mind. So you might be able to get rid of it. One of the most effective way to stop self-attack is the metta meditation. You can learn it and practice it very easily. There are many ways that you can learn it. In fact, there are many books written on this subject. There are many audio records given instructions step by step how to cultivate metta. If you can cultivate metta meditation, you will eventually diminish and get rid of this self-attack. But before you practice, as metta meditation starts radiating loving kindness toward yourself, I encourage you to reflect yourself first. How you are part of this world with other sentient existence, with other sentient beings in this existence. All the living beings, they are undergoing dukkha. So we are not free from it. I'm part of this. You can see how external forces and internal forces, all these come together and create this conditioning. You can see how your own defilements create miseries and sufferings in your own mind. You can see how your body react to these situations. When you look at them, you might have compassion for yourself. I should not torture myself. I should not criticize myself unnecessarily. So when you have compassion for yourself, that is the right moment for you to radiate a lot of love towards yourself before you start radiating loving kindness towards the others. So the metta meditation is one of the most effective way. And if you have a shrine, it will be beautiful if you can do a simple chanting, some reflection of the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha before you start practicing metta meditation. That will be greatly helpful. Now, before we end up this talk, I would like to ask the question which I posed at the very beginning. If we do not criticize ourselves, how can we expect ourselves to be better? Now, if we were to criticize ourselves harshly and negatively, the root causes of this behavior is ignorance and hatred. You have self-anger, self-hatred, vibhava tanha. That itself is deeply rooted in avijja, ignorance. So Buddha, in the second noble truth, when he discussed the root cause of suffering, he pointed out craving, then He said, kama tanha, bhava tanha, vibhava tanha, craving for sensual pleasure, craving for existence, and vibhava tanha means craving for self-destruction, self-attack, self-annihilation. So this is a root cause of suffering. So if you were to criticize harshly and negatively with the intention of transforming yourself, you are using an unwholesome method which is based on ignorance and hatred. So as a Dhamma practitioner, you should not do that. Instead, we have a better way. This is the method taught by the Buddha based on great compassion and understanding. Entire teachings of the Buddha depends on compassion and understanding. Here, understanding play a key role. You understand that your brain evolved in a such a way and it has the nature of self-criticizing. It has evolved in a such a way. So these self-criticizing thoughts, feelings, they might arise, just pop up without your control over it. But if you give them the strength, they become manifest and become negative and destructive. You also can understand that some of these impulses come into play, not because you want, but due to your childhood experiences, you are the victim of some of the abuses or upbringing, and whatever it is. So you are experiencing these impulses due to that. When you also understand, sometimes they can go even beyond the present life and go to the past lives, and you might understand, in fact, these impulses arise in the mind without your intention. Now, it is also your understanding that you do not need to be a victim. You can exercise mindfulness and you can find out trigger points by tracing back, doing backtracking. And if you can do that using your understanding, which is wisdom here, then you can get rid of it. When you understand this, you will have compassion for yourself. You will not have hatred towards yourself. So you will have compassion for yourself, and then you also may want to help your brothers and sisters to understand this and help themselves to transform on the path of the Buddha. Okay, so this is enough as a talk. We can open this for Q&A.